Every stormy wind that blows from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. There is the place where Jesus sheds the all of gladness on our heads, a place than all besides more sweet. It is the blood-bought mercy. There is a scene where spirits blend, where grim hosts fellowship with grim, though sundered far by faith they meet. Around one common had suffering saints no mercy seen.
Paste it in the back page of the book.
It's not in all of them.
$4.95 pasted in the back of some of the books. If you don't have one, you can find one.
There is a river we must pass over when life's sun goes to sleep in the west. There'll be a light for me at the crossing, guiding me to my home of sweet rest. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam, down through the valley, past the dark shadow. Jesus, my life will carry me home. Soon I shall reach the brink of the river, where the chill waters murmur their song. Nothing can harm me, nothing alarm me, while I am sailing across to my home. There'll be a light down through the valley, past the dark shadow. Jesus, my light will carry me home. Down by the river, soon I'll be standing, bidding farewell to friends on the shore, sailing with Jesus onto that land where He is the light that shines evermore. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam, down through the valley, past the dark dark shadow, Jesus, my life will carry me home.
Page 69 in the black book. You ran with it. Page 69. Now may the Lord reveal his face and teach us stammering tongues to make his sovereign reigning grace the subject of our songs. No sweeter subject can invite a sinner's heart to or more display the glorious right of our exalted King. This subject fills the starry plains with wonder, joy, and love, and furnishes the noblest strains for all the harps above, while the to grace upon the throne. Angels in solemn chorus join and make the theme their own. Grace reigns to pardon crimson sins, to melt the hardest hearts, and from the work it once begins, it never more departs. The world and Satan strive in vain against the chosen few. Secured by grace's conquering reign, they all shall conquer too. 'Twas grace that called our souls at first, by grace thus far we're come, and grace will help us through the worst and lead us safely home. Lord, when this changing life is past, if we may see thy face, how should we praise and love at last and sing the reign of grace? Okay. 190 in the old school book.
I love thy kingdom, Lord, the blood. beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, all bliss to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
How about 202?
202.
When the storm in its fury on Galilee fell and lifted its waters on high, and the faithless disciples were bound in the spell, Jesus whispered, "Fear not, it is I. It is I. should fly. It shall reach his disciples in every age, saying, be not afraid, it is I, it is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. When the spirit is broken with sorrow and care, and comfort is ready to die, then darkness shall pass and the sunshine appear. By the life-giving word, it is I, it is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. When death is at hand and this cottage of clay is left with a tremulous sigh, the gracious Redeemer will light all the way, saying, be not afraid, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I.
Number two, then, when I heard from number two.
Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father, all glorious, o'er all victorious, come and reign over us, ancient of days. Come thou, incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword,
It's good to be back with y'all again, Mike, this morning. Seems like things come each day and each hour. I believe Brother Gleason told me, I talked to him, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday one. He said, be sure to remember, and I hope I'm going to make his name right. If it don't, you can correct it by me. Sister Edia, her daughter, passed. And I know that I told Brother Gleason, Sister Elliot has been blessed with a good long life. I've never had no children, never been married, but I've give up my mother and father both. My grandfather on my father's side, I just can't remember. I know it's hard to give up people, but to look over on the other hand of it, our loss is our gain. And we're looking and hoping for a better home on the other side. We're living in a trying time. But bless us, just pray that we can walk closer and near to God each day, each hour, and each moment. And we hope this one we've met for no other purpose other than to worship God in spirit and truth. And I don't know how much longer we're going to have the freedom here in America to do what we're doing. We may have to go to the dens and the caves and the mountains to do it. But even though if death faces us, let's still stand to do it. Because I heard on the news last night, they said some of these terrorists over, said one of these leaders said it, if they could get rid of the ones in America, said if we didn't give up and worship the God that they worship, it was going to be something else. But let's worship our God and walk with Him as long as life lasts here on this earth. What have you got to open with?
91.
Okay, sing, and I'll try to go to the Word of the Lord in prayer.
91. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Close to thee. All along pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease of worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Then the gate of life
go to the throne of God and pray. O most gracious, eternal, divine, righteous Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, As we come before thee this morning, we thank you, O dear God, for taking us through the dawn of another night into the shade of another day, blessing us to rise this morning in our right state of mind, worshiping, praising, and glorifying thy grand and glorious name. O dear Lord, we come this morning poor and needy and unworthy before thee. O dear God, we pray that thou would bless thy church kingdom and add unto her daily that such as should be added. O dear Lord, we pray, brother, deacon, brother. O Lord, we pray for the members of this church. O Lord, we pray for Sister Ellie and the loss of her daughter. And O Lord, we pray this morning, as we was told that she fell last night, planning to be here. O dear Lord, we pray that thou would look down upon and strengthen us, O dear God, and not only her, but each and every one. O Lord, be around about those that are on the outside of Zion, and bless them and have, give them a desire to come and walk with us, O dear God. O Lord, bless us to walk closer and near to thee each day, in each hour, in each moment. O dear Lord, we pray for the sick and afflicted, those in the homes, the hospitals, nursing homes, wherever they may be. O dear God, be around about them, keep them, and watch over them. And if it be thine heaven's will, raise them to thy reasonable portion of health and strength. O dear Lord, we pray unto thee, and we've got to believe that if we could only touch the hem of thy garment, we'd be made whole and well. O dear Lord, we pray for those that have lost loved ones, comfort them in the hours of grief. O dear Lord, we pray that as we come before thee, O Lord, as I come to stand before thee this day, loosen my stammering tongue that I be able to speak as a ready writer, and be able to stir up in my people's minds in the way of pure amendments. Without thee, I can do nothing. O dear God, we pray this morning for the leadership of this nation, that they would seek guidance and counsel from God Almighty, that they would be, that they would do which would be pleasing unto thee and not unto man. O dear Lord, which we come to the last mile of the way, give us a peaceful hour in which to lay down and breathe out these our last breaths. Cross across death's chilly stream, and on the moment of the resurrection, raise on crown and fashion these our bodies in thy likeness, and we'll ever give thee the praise, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I've been a pondering last night and this morning. There's been many scriptures on my mind, and I hope and pray that the Lord will bless me and give me words that would be a comfort to this congregation. I thank you, Lord, to see that there's a few more God's dear children gathered together once again to worship, praise, and glorify his grand and glorious name. There's no name whereby under heaven we shall be saved other than by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning, as I was getting ready to leave, the sixth chapter of Jeremiah come to my mind. And God has blessed America with a wonderful land. And it's so wonderful to know that we've had a land that flowed with milk and honey. But here in the sixth chapter of Jeremiah, I'm just going to hit some high places about here. There's some things I hope that I'll be able to bring out, will show you. And I hope, and I believe everyone sitting under the sound of my voice can see this morning what a shape our country has come. And there's been a great falling away. Because it says in Thessalonians, in the last days there come a great falling away. But here I'm going to begin with the first verse here in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah, and begin to read some here. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tokyo, and set up a sign, fire in Bethlehem, for evil appears out of the north, and great destruction. I have like the daughters of Zion to a lonely and dedicated woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come out unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. And I thought about it so much. The church is also referred to, as I look at it, as a woman. Because in the 21st chapter of Revelations, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down out of heaven. For the first earth and the first heaven has passed away, the former seas, as a bride adorned for her husband. And certainly the church was referred to this, and Israel and Jerusalem. Mrs. Stern, you hear plain. There's been times, and it is today, in this time that we are living in, that it's not, the people's not worshiping the way as they used to. Over here in the 16th chapter, thus saith the verse, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein, for also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not. And this can be tied together. I don't know what God will give me grace to do it this morning or not, but I hope he will. When Jesus Christ was sent down here on this earth, and when there was walking, when before he come, the law days, back in the law days, there was a promise of the things to come in this day, which we have been able to see. We've been able to handle it. We've been able to hear it. There's not one on the face of this earth living today that was able to see our Jesus, but we have been able to see him by the eye of faith. And we are now living in the days of the grace covenant. And faith is evidence of things hoped for, yet not seen. But Jesus Christ came and he established a church without spot and without blemish. And he's coming back to get that church some glad morning. I don't know how much longer we got to dwell here in what we're living in. But yet I'm not troubled. Because in the Gospel of John he says, my peace I leave with you. And we've seen through the ages that we've grown up in such a great falling away, the change in the way that people are worshiping. But there's yet but not one God to worship and to praise. And that is a true and living God. And there's no one else to be worshiped. As I mentioned to you, those people saying that the Western people over here, if they didn't change, it was going to be something else. But Jesus Christ, when he was born there in the town of Bethlehem of Judea, when that marriage time of his exposure came, there was nowhere found in the inn, which was a motel. You look up that word inn and it means motel. There was nowhere for him. But God looked out from the beginning and saw the end. He looked from the end and saw the beginning. God predetermined he had a people and he had a final destination for them. But yet we got to remember that the carnal world had nowhere for Jesus Christ in it. You got to watch as you read and study. And when you're reading, you got to look at both sides of the meanings of this. There's the elect world and there's a carnal world. And that old devil, that old serpent's been going to and fro, devouring them whom he made. But I said this yesterday morning, that I believe everyone that their names was written in that Lamb's Book of Life, somewhere between conception and death, they'll come to the knowledge of the truth of God Almighty, because we cannot go to God, but God comes to us. And there's another scripture that I use so much that clarifies this very well. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, he asked his disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" Some said John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. But Simon Peter says, "Thou art the Christ." He said unto him, he said, "Simon, Bo-Jonah, thou art said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And he draws us nigh unto him. We come to the place that we realize in life that we feel like we're nothing. Our righteousness is no more than filthy rags. But God is a forgiving God. He's been a long-suffering God. And he suffered. He certainly, back in the olden days, I don't know how many years the earth had been here, when he spoke unto Noah. Well, Noah found that God had repented that he made man. It had got so evil and so wicked. But yet, God said, "I'm going to destroy all life with a flood. Everything lives on the face of this earth." But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And I heard one say, not long, just a couple of weeks ago, it said, "God found grace in the eyes of Noah." But that ain't what it says in Genesis. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And he told him to build that ark. It took him 120 years to build the ark. And while he was building that ark, I believe that Noah was a preaching and teaching unto those people what was going to happen, that there was a coming of flood. And while we've been living in this grace covenant, we've been preaching unto the people and teaching unto them that Jesus Christ is coming back some glad morning without sin unto salvation. And this scripture tells you in the New Testament, says, "Where is it coming?" They've been saying it all these years. But no man on the face of this earth knoweth the day and the time that he is coming back. But we do know. As I heard Elder Lewis Thayer say one time, and he says, "Who cares when he's coming? Just so we know he's a coming. But it's going to be a rejoicing day when he comes, when we can see our Savior with our own eyes. But it's not going to be with these natural eyes. We're going to have a changed body. We're not going to change it. Some of us could be a living, or we all could be a living when he comes back, when God the Father looks out and says, 'The fields is ripe for harvest. Son, go bring my children home.'" I've said this many times, and I guess people get this I used to hear this little song when I was just a lad growing up. I want to be standing at my mother's grave when she comes. Brother Keith, it's not going to be no use, because it's going to be done in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it'll be precious when we can look to the eastern skies and see our Savior coming in the clouds of glory. We got a people in this world and today that's looking for him to come back and set up a kingdom. But he's not going to come back and set up a kingdom. He's coming back to get the kingdom that he did set up. And it's going to, when, just think about it. Oh, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth for some. There's going to be rejoicing. This body of ours and this tabernacle of ours is not our own. I believe I spoke on this yesterday morning. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. I know when this earthly house of mine, this tabernacle is dissolved, I've got a house not made with hands, whose builder and maker is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's so many people that is changing the Word of God. We don't want to change the Word of God. I was at a funeral here week before last. Over there, I believe it's in the Gospel of John. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. They've changed that. In my Father's house are many rooms. I don't believe in that. The Scripture's teaching in Revelation that if you take away from this word, I will take away your part out of the book of life. If you add unto it, I'll add the plagues unto you. But Jesus Christ, he certainly came. He came, he went there. There's not but one way that we can get into this kingdom here, and that is to come in by the door. He says, if any man, I am the door, and if any man enters any other way other than by the door, he's a thief and a robber. And I've seen in my lifetime, as traveling through the church and being in the church all my life, I've seen a lot of robbers get in. They come professing that they're something that they're not. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ did not have to go there out of the River Jordan to be baptized to come the Son of God. He was the Son of God. When Jesus Christ came down here on this earth, he was no sins within him. It was our sins he brought with him. It was our sins that he carried to the old rugged cross that hung there and shed his blood and cried out and said it was finished. We got nothing to give. We was 10,000 talents in debt and not a farthing to pay with. But I'm thankful this morning that we still are able to worship God and to be able to give him a praise, honor, and glory.